fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. Ghana will host Nigeria in one of five World Cup qualifying playoff matches on Friday in Africa. Yawafusu Larbi spoke with a few former Ghanaian football players ahead of the Ghana-Nigeria match. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The final stretch of the Africa World Cup qualifiers begin this week across the continent. Some of the best teams on the continent will face off against each other in a bid to qualify for football's biggest showpiece. Ghana is set to face Old Force Nigeria in a cracking doubleheader. Mohamed Salah's Egypt will play Sadio Mane's Senegal in a repeat of the AFCON 2021 final. Ghana's squad began arriving on Monday to get ready for the big clash against Nigeria's Super Eagles. Neo Date Lamte, who played in many of these games back in the 90s, believes this has all it takes to make a great game.
Players that went to Cameroon, I won't take anything away from them. I think they are quality materials, I'm sure. For former player being a coach now, I'll be very pleased to have them in my team. I think what they need is a zeal, the zeal that we used to have, like the early 90s players, the Tony Eboa, Abedi Pele, myself, and then you know the other colleagues from Paul Mansu and co. I'm sure if they have that kind of zeal, that fighting spirit, I'm sure they should be able to beat Nigeria without a doubt. So I believe in them, and I hope that with a new technical team, I'm sure from the back here, I also see what kind of mistake that happened in the team in Cameroon, so that I should be able to correct those mistakes. And the new players that you add into that team, they should be able to gel very well, so that we should be able to win that match. The organizers will rally behind the team. I know it's a difficult task for Ghana, because what happened in Cameroon was a disaster. I mean, I think it's the first time Ghana have faced that kind of situation. So I hope that we all will pray for Ghana. And I'm sure everybody's waiting for 25th to be around, so that day will come. But as I said, all Ghanaians and football fans should always pray for the team, and I'm sure with that we should be able to carry the day.
World Cup qualifiers are some of the biggest stages any footballer will want to play at. Quite a number of Ghana's players will be making their debuts in a game like this. Former Ghana international Sule Muntari says it is unfortunate that Ghana has to play Nigeria in a stage like this that guarantees who plays at the World Cup.
Black Star is for all of us. It's for Ghana. If we qualify for the World Cup, that's what we want. And we make the whole nation proud. It's unfortunate that we're going to play our own brothers, Nigeria. I wish we didn't play them, because if Nigeria is in the World Cup and Ghana is in the World Cup, that's the best thing ever. Because we are close, we are brothers. But then, unfortunately, we have to play them. So we will prepare well and face them.
Ghana's Black Stars were eliminated from the Africa Cup of Nations 2 months ago without a point. It was the country's worst ever performance at the tournament and has left many fans demotivated about the upcoming game. Former Black Star Malik Jabir shares those sentiments, but says Ghana's strengths can come to bear in this game.
I'm happy it's coming to the biggest stadium in this country. It means there will be a bigger support for them, because the capacity is big. This is one. So look at the support they will get. And two, that is the day we will see the players we have. Anybody who start well will cheer him up. But apart from that, you know, let's just hope that Nigeria will find it difficult. I know Nigeria will find it difficult to beat Ghana, because that is the natural sequence. But I hope we were prepared to meet them. I hope so.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Basketball Africa League 2022 resumes April 9th in Cairo, Egypt, where 2021 ball champion Zamalek will host Cobra Sport of South Sudan in the opening Nile Conference game. Like Cobra Sport, the South African team, Cape Town Tigers, is making its debut in Africa's premier men's basketball league. The head coach of the Tigers, Relton Boysen, joined me and the Malian big man, Chek Tierro of the VOA's French to Africa service, for a special Basketball Africa League discussion. One of the topics we chatted about was the influence of international coaches. Here's Chek.
I really think, Sonny, this is not only basketball, it's even soccer, every sport. This influence international coaches' presence is there because I think it's due to the experience of the level of the basketball that's required professionally. A lot of this, I play NCAA Division One basketball, and I had a chance to play at the highest level competition of basketball. But I have experienced some coaching forum when they teach coaches. If you went to NCAA Division One basketball in America, as a player, you are qualified to coach at the Basketball Africa League
right
now.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that.
Yes. So that's not enough for a coach, you know. If a basketball player like me just came, I stopped a little bit while ago and go there now and coach, you know, I understand the game a little bit, but you needed more expertise, like, to make a change in the game and a time that's critically needed, in which we saw with some coaches. And he mentioned that it's hard to really coach a team if you haven't seen the team for more than 3 weeks.
Right.
Liz
right.
joined the team 2 weeks before. So you don't have an idea about a lot of players that coming in, what they do. You have to do your own researches. Like you say, you're going to do all the work as a coach. But the local coaches know these players because most of these players are local. The local coaches know this player. But if they get more trainings and more understanding, a lot of coaches are experienced too. They went to college and they have a lot of things. But most of the time, they're looking for guys who really been there and have an experience to coaching big games and higher level. That's what people look for, because when you go to the war, you go with your bigger weapon, right?
That's right.
So that's what the things I'm seeing with the coaching level right now.
Well, what about coaching, Chek? Would you like to be a coach someday down the road?
It's the challenging things. You got to have patience, and you got to know the players. If you're a player, and players like player coach. You know, player coach is Popovich. Player coach is the coach for Miami. Player coach is coaches that really put their player shoes on, you know. That's what you call player coaches, you know, and they understand it. So players love that. No matter what you do, you understand basketball. If you're not a player coach, you're going to have a hard time with your best player or something. You got to be a player coach, because everybody, as a basketball player, you want to play with a coach. You don't want to play a coach who just learned basketball on the writing and just implement it. You want to be playing for a coach that who really is going to be a player coach, you know.
Coach B, let me follow up what Chek just said. He mentioned patience being a real good quality for a coach. Could you comment on that? And maybe do you like to meet your new players right away, Coach? I know you've talked to me about going to the airport to meet some of your players. Can you talk about patience as a coaching attribute?
Yes, Sonny. So for me, we haven't spoke about this, but I got a basketball scholarship that put me through and changed my life. So basically, what ZF teach me is that it's not only sport, but it's off the court that also matter. So I like to interact with my players, local club, and Cape Town Tigers. I go pick them personally up at the airport, take the drive into the city for the first time. Jamel Arthurs just landed today as well. Went to pick him up. Have that first conversation, welcome him to the country, have the talk about what I expect from them on and off the court. And it's just better for the team to gel if you take that thing into consideration, getting that bond from the moment the person landed in South Africa. So yes, patience is very important, but relationships and respect is also very important when you have a player-coach relationship and when you're building a culture. Because as the coach mentioned, you're going to war, and you cannot go to war if there's no cohesion, if there's no respect, you know, if there's no team chemistry on and off the court. So that's very important.
I know coaching is a very tough job, Sunny, because I have an AU team here. Kids don't get it, so you have to be patient. That's why I mentioned that, you know, because this is serious, man. This is a very serious business that is, you know, sports generate most money than any industry right now in the world, like when you look at it, you know. But like what coaches say right now, you got to be a player coach. You got to worry about players not only being home on the court, you know, people like to be careful, you know, and even though, because they left everything behind to come, this obviously is important, you know. That's why I mentioned player coach, but I get on the same page with coach on the other side. It might be a player coach too, which is good, because if you're a player coach, you get along with players really good, and they will do whatever you ask.
That's the Malian big man, Chek Tiero of the VOA's French to Africa service. And Chek was talking with me and Relton Boysen, the head coach of South Africa's Cape Town Tigers basketball team, during a special Basketball Africa League discussion. Basketball Africa League 2022 will resume April 9th when Zamalek, the 2021 ball champion, will host Cobra Sport of South Sudan in Cairo in the opening Nile Conference game.
Hello, listeners. My name is Sheila Omure-Buyungo, KCCA Volleyball Club head coach and national team head coach for the Uganda Volleyball Cranes men. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Sheila is the first woman to coach a men's national volleyball team in Africa. And this evening, our friend Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala as part two of a feature profile of Sheila. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Uganda National Volleyball Team head coach Sheila Omuriwa-Buyungo engages players of local club Kampala City Council Authority, KCCA, in a training session at Nagulu, a Kampala suburb.
She tells players, both males and females, to practice just like they are playing in the finale in their next game. One of the players here, Unis Amron, the KCCA and national team captain, says that's a routine she has gotten used to both at her club and the national team.
No, that's okay. Get to the next one.
She's helped me see sport not just as a fun thing to do, yeah, but as something that can mold you into a responsible citizen. She's helped me realize you can actually grow while playing volleyball. Yeah, it has taught me how to be responsible for my actions. Yeah, because with Coach Sheila, you have to take responsibility for each and every action you do, whether it is on the court or off the court.
Just like the rest of her teammates, Eunice calls Sheila a friend, a mother, and a mentor, someone that has nurtured her become a better person.
Shira rose to prominence last year when she was appointed to head the Ugandan national men volleyball team, the Cranes, becoming the first ever woman to manage a national volleyball team on the African continent. Yet, she started the game at a later stage in her life. In fact, Sheila was summoned to the national team, which had never featured for any club.
At that point in time, my dad wanted me to focus on school. I also didn't play for the university team, but I was always training. It's like I always wanted to make myself better. I wasn't fighting to be on the court playing. I was just trying to see how do I get better. I would watch people playing, and I'm like, oh, I want to play like that person. And I was small, so I never, you know, set these goals of I want to spike, and Norris worked on playing, working on my defense. I want to be a good defender.
Eventually, she played for local club, Kampala Amateur Volleyball Club, KVC, and then for the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut, U.S., where she honed her skills both as a player and a coach.
Ending up in coaching was also unplanned, but I enjoyed it because in the U.S., they use a lot of statistics. They use a lot of numbers, a lot of analysis of what you're doing to give you feedback on, you know, how many passes you're making. You know, those numbers drive you to get better. They speak to you. So that's something. When I was grad assistant coach, that's one of the things I was doing. I was tracking the players' numbers while on the bench and giving feedback. And I think that analytical side of the game is what now drew me to the coaching.
Shira obtained further coaching training from the University of Leipzig in Germany. But she says it has not been an easy job coaching the opposite sex.
Recently at the qualifier we just attended, because some of them were very surprised. Remember the first game, they asked my captain, she's your coach? Like when I came to sign. And he stood and looked at them, yes. So it was that shock of, oh, because I was the only woman at the championship. That shock of, oh. And, you know, just the players know what I can do. Technically, they know what I bring for them. So for them, it's not an issue. Normally, it's when you first go somewhere and people are seeing you and they are wondering, like, what is she doing here? But then you get over that.
Defender Onesimus Muhumuza says male players here have mutual respect for Coach Sheila.
Any player who has been trying to hold back, she has been there, you know. She comes to you, she talks to you, feel free. She's like, feel free with me. Eh? I'm a lady, I know I'm a lady, but feel free. Eh? Talk to me, I will handle. If there are many issues, she'll be like, talk to the coach who's a man. So, but we have worked with it, we have dealt with it, and it is moving on very well. Yeah, we don't see her as a lady. No, we see her as a coach. She reaches you personally. If it includes calling you, texting you, she will do it just to make you improve. Yeah.
Edward Bwenje is the assistant coach for KCCA. For him, Coach Sheila is
very principled, very determined, committed, and she's a person who would want somebody to achieve, somebody who is ready to achieve. She's there to support.
Sheila advises other women in sports, players, coaches, and administrators. Always have confidence.
Just empower yourself. The opportunity will come and you'll show what you can do. And I normally tell people, it's not about, you know, I'm a woman, you're a man, so it's me against you. No, just do what you can do to the best of your ability and the rest will just fall in place.
Coach Sheila Buyungo says she's grateful for a supporting family she has. She says she believes Uganda has very talented volleyball players to compete at the global stage. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Big court, this side, big court, this side.
Switch, switch, switch. Hello, listeners. My name is Amron Yunis. I'm Chief Captain KCCA and also the Uganda Ship Cranes Captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk with African students who have returned home from Ukraine. What attracted so many of them to universities in the Eastern European country? And we'll speak with a former president of Mauritius about reversing the continent's so-called brain drain. Be sure to join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Go beyond the daily headlines with VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. Each weekday at 19:35 UTC, join me, Steve Miller, as I put the latest developments into a global context with interviews and analysis. Listen online at voanews.com/flashpoint or in your favorite podcast player.
Sporty greetings. This is Esebume, 3-time African champion in long jump. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Esse. Nigeria's Esebume won a silver medal at the recent World Athletics Indoor Championships in Belgrade, Serbia, where she had a leap of 6 meters, 85. The gold medal went to local favorite Ivana Vuleta of Serbia, who jumped 7 meters, 06. And Lorraine Ugin of Britain won the bronze with a leap of 6 meters, 82. For reaction to Esebume's silver medal, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted Esse's coach, Kayode Yaya.
I'm excited. And I'm thankful because this is the first competition this season. So this is our season opener. It's a big one because it's on a big stage. So I'm very thankful and I'm excited.
Coach, what's the difference in a Esebume silver winning jump in Serbia and that of the Tokyo Olympic Games, where she won bronze medal?
What's the difference in the silver winning jump and that of Tokyo Olympics? You call it Olympics. Any Olympic medal is what it sought. It's what the sovereign. The Olympic medal is the ultimate medal anyone can ever achieve. I appreciate so much the silver medal, but the Olympic medal, it's something you savor for a very, very long time.
After the World Indoor Athletics Championship, what next for Esebume?
The season opens. We get into the season as it comes. We take it as it unfolds. So we're looking forward to the season right now, and a great season we're looking forward to.
That's Kayode Yaya, the coach of Nigeria's Esebume, who won a silver medal at the recent World Athletics Indoor Championships in Belgrade, Serbia. And Kayode spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Serbia.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, at VOA Sunny Sports.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Philadelphia 76ers were missing two key players, but they were still able to beat the conference-leading Miami Heat. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Without Joel Embiid and James Harden, who were nursing injuries, the 76ers pulled away in the fourth quarter for a 113-106 win over the Heat. Down 95-92, Philadelphia took control with a 20-6 run kept by Tyrese Maxey, who scored 13 points in that run, capped by a pair of three-point baskets that gave the Sixers a 109-101 lead with 1:34 to play. Maxey finished with a game-high 28 points.
It's just a great feeling, you know, see the work that you put in, come to life in a big game like that.
Shake Milton came off the bench to score 20.
You never really know what the game's going to throw at you, you know, who's going to be down, who's going to be up, who's going to be playing, who's not. So I think for all of us, it's just, you know, myself, for everybody on the bench, and then, you know, George stepping up in the starting role, Sapp coming in. I mean, everybody just tried to chip in and do a little something to help the team win.
Jimmy Butler had 27 for Miami. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. In New York City, Kevin Durant had another excellent all-around game for the Brooklyn Nets to help lead them to victory over the Utah Jazz. The AP's Mike Mancuso reports from New York.
Kevin Durant had 37 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists to lead the Nets to a 114-106 win over the Jazz. Brooklyn has won 6 of their last 7 to sit at 38-34. Durant passed Jerry West to move into 22nd place on the NBA's all-time scoring list with 25,213 points. He enjoyed going against the top-flight team.
I enjoy the competition that's out there. It's one of the best teams in the league. They bring the best out of you. You know, I just try to be there for my guys and, you know, feed off the crowd. And I want the crowd to feed off me as well.
Donovan Mitchell had 30 for the 45-27 Jazz. Mike Mancuso, New York.
Thanks, Mike. Elsewhere around the NBA, Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James returned to Cleveland and posted his 105th career triple-double, 38 points, 11 rebounds, and 12 assists as the Lakers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 131-120. Now, it was LeBron's only visit home this season, other than the NBA All-Star Game last month. LeBron James played 11 seasons and 2 stints with the Cavaliers. The 37-year-old James says playing in front of a Cleveland crowd will always bring out his best. LeBron is trying to keep the Lakers in the NBA playoff picture in what so far has been a disappointing season for the team. The Lakers have a record of 31 wins and 41 losses. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics are playing some of their best basketball of the season as they get ready for the NBA playoffs. The Celtics have won 9 of their last 10 games, including a 132-123 victory Monday night over the Oklahoma City Thunder that completed a perfect 4-0 road trip. Jason Tatum led the Celtics with 36 points. Boston's head coach, Ime Udoka, used to play for Nigeria's national men's team, nicknamed the Tigers. Udoka said after the game, and I quote, "We came out with the right mindset offensively. We talked about going 4-0, finishing the road trip on the right foot, and we did that ultimately."
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In U.S. men's college basketball, we've reached the Sweet 16 stage in the popular NCAA championship tournament. The next round of games will be played on Thursday night and Friday night at venues across the USA. Let's take a look at the 8 matchups. Top-seeded Gonzaga will play Arkansas. Texas Tech will take on Duke. This is the final championship tournament for Duke's Hall of Fame coach, Mike Krzyzewski, who is retiring. North Carolina will play UCLA. Purdue will face surprise package St. Peter's. Arizona will go against Houston. Michigan will meet Villanova. Kansas will play Providence. And Iowa State will meet Miami. And that wraps up the March 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the Sonny. Sunny Side of Sports.